This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
John Lennon and the Beatles. Be a great way to start off 2022. All you need is love. So easy to say, so hard to do. That's the problem. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my loving partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for being with us. It is Wednesday, December 29th. Wow. Next time we do the show, it'll be the new year. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Jay Green of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about anti-Semitism on college campuses these days, and a problem he says is growing among college diversity administrators, the very people that are supposed to be watching out for this kind of thing. And the Miami Herald says that the Omicron virus outbreak in the Sunshine State occurred because Governor Ron DeSantis acted selfishly. He is the one to blame. So we will get some thoughts on that, along with some other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, who will be back, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And we're going to also talk about the 10 members of the Republican Party that are most likely to run for president in 2024. Do you have a list yet? We will tell you who they apparently might be. And speaking of 10, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 brightest states in America, and we don't mean light, okay? The brightest states in America. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, what better way to start out the new year than feeling like you got a great trim on your head? You got to look sharp. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. They are in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580, Main Street on Overcash Drive. All right. And also, let's tip the hat to Good Morning Clearwater. Great show. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they're not only good at doing the show, they're nice people as well. Good Morning Clearwater. Well, as usual, there is a lot to talk about in what is going on in the news. Do you notice, by the way, how many Democrats are leaving? They are leaving in droves. Listen to this. There are now 23 Democrats in the Congress who are retiring or going into another job in politics. 23. That's a lot. A trio of them: Stephanie Murphy of Florida, Lucille Raybal, or I should say Roybal Allard, she's from California, and Albio Ceres of New Jersey, this past week said they're going to quit rather than run again in the upcoming November election. We can say upcoming now, can't we? Even though, because we passed the last November, the upcoming November elections. So that's 23 who are retiring on the Democratic side or going for another office. Why are they all jumping ship? Are they rats? Are they wanting to get off a sinking ship? Is that what they're doing? Now, the Republicans need just a net gain of 5 seats in Congress, and they will be in the majority. It looks very good. It looks very good. And in fact, the GOP has history on its side. On average, the party that wins the White House in a presidential election loses more than 25 seats in the House in the following midterm election. And, you know, you got all of these bad things happening to these poor Democrats, you know? The COVID is worse than ever, at least in terms of number of people infected with this new version. Remember, wasn't His Holiness President Biden, didn't he run on saying he had a plan to get us out of the virus? Now he says there's no federal solution. Did you hear that? He had a plan. He kept saying when Trump was president, the year he was running, that let me get in there. We'll take care of this. And now he's pushing it off to the states. Biden yesterday claimed there was no federal solution to the virus. At the same time, by the way, he boasted about what he called his federal plan to combat the virus. Okay, which is it? He's actually saying two things at the same time. Should I call him Brandon or should I call him Biden? It's easier to say Brandon. I guess I'll say Biden. Biden tweeted yesterday that his administration was behind every governor as they combat the virus. And then he bragged about a federal plan to address the Omicron virus. So he's kind of talking both ways. Meantime, the liberal media is appearing to largely give him a pass for attempting to ricochet responsibility to individual states after he promised to use the federal government's powers to combat the virus. Remember how he scolded Trump? Trump was doing the wrong thing. Trump wasn't doing anything. People were dying because of Trump. He gets into office, more people have died under him.
And remember, he said he had a plan for the virus.
That's what we were saying. Yeah. He had a plan. And he had a plan.
Do you realize?
And then he said, it's the federal, the feds can't do it.
Do you realize under his administration, we've had not one, but two new variants?
Yes.
Can you imagine if that happened under Trump?
Oh, the mainstream media would just have a field
And we're
day.
Just looking the other way. We were going to take care of it. We got this under control, but now there's two new variants.
That's right. I mean, the truth is, or I should say, I believe that actually it is not a federal. I think the governor should have more control over it than the federal government. The thing is, when you say, oh, I want to be elected president because yeah. I will be able to figure this out. That's, you know what? You're not being honest. That's what's going on there. I think the states have a much better chance of helping solve this issue. Because it's the old thing that the closer you get the decisions to the people themselves, usually the better off you're going to be, rather than a one-size-fits-all from Washington. So,
listen, we make fun of them, but you can't hold one person accountable. But it works both ways, too. You can't hold Trump accountable in your earliest story.
Correct.
How do you hold DeSantis responsible for it? Come on.
We're going to talk about that, by the way, with our buddy Andrew the Master Barber. How do they blame? Now, that's the liberal Miami Herald talking, first of all. And it doesn't make any. It's like the Tampa Bay Times here in Tampa Bay.
Well, they
get don't
a lot
like
of,
them.
They get a lot of stories from the Miami paper.
That's true.
They repost them up here because they can't afford their own reporters.
That's true too.
There's a donate button on the side. donates because we can't pay our reporters.
I kind of feel bad because it used to be a very...
it was a respected newspaper.
A very respected newspaper. And it's sad to see... Coming from a newspaper family, it's sad to see the death of newspapers.
You had the St. Petersburg Times, and then you had the Tampa Tribune.
You had the Tampa Tribune.
Right.
Yeah, we had two... it was daily papers.
Yes.
And every paper... And lots of news.
Yes.
I remember the Tampa Tribune was more conservative.
Big fat Sunday, you know, paper.
Very big fat Sunday, both of them.
All kinds of coupons. And
the good old days. The good old days. All right. We're going to take our break. We're going to switch gears. Jay Green is going to join us. We're going to talk about a growing problem in college, anti-Semitism.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. The last Wednesday of the year, by the way. And delighted to have Jay Green join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation Center for Education Policy. And he's got a piece in Newsweek magazine, came out a few days ago. Anti-Semitism is a growing problem among college diversity administrators. Jay, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on the show.
This is really, I don't know, this is kind of a sad and maybe a worrisome issue, but tell us a little bit about it. What is going on with American colleges and anti-Semitism these days?
Sure. Well, and look, I don't think this is simply about anti-Semitism. This is about a political organizing effort that's occurring on college campuses under the guise of promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI. And these people are not actually promoting diversity and inclusion. Instead, they're promoting a particular left-wing political agenda, and that includes in it a hostility towards Jews, but also hostility towards other groups that are thought to be in an oppressor category because they see their job as sticking it to the oppressor and helping the oppressed.
Okay.
That's what they think their job is.
And in particular, I know we're focusing, I guess, on the administrators of these diversity people. And I've seen these titles now at colleges, you know, diversity department, which makes my, by the way, makes me cringe, just the idea, because I'm thinking you give a guy a big salary or a lady a big salary, say, look, you're going to be in charge of diversity here. So they kind of have to go out looking for something to justify their existence, don't they? That's what I, in some cases, that's what I see. You know, it's like they're going to look for something.
in certain ways. But go ahead. I want to get your thought on these diversity administrators.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things that we've discovered in our research is that it's not one guy. The average university has 45 diversity administrators. So this is a very large effort, and what they really are political activist organizers. So they're mobilizing students and faculty towards radical activism on campus. And so that's the problem they're looking for. The problem they're manufacturing is really the political fight they're picking.
Are they in search of a problem? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there are real problems. We do have difficulty sometimes getting along with each other, but that's not really what these organizations are about. What they're really about is organizing one side of the fringe political spectrum. And you could see this in how they particularly pick on Jews, but Jews are not the only group that they pick on.
Mm-hmm. So we've had anti-Semitism around forever. I mean, for thousands of years. And the reasons behind it, people can discuss left and right. But when you get onto college campuses, is the anti, let's talk about the anti-Semitism. Is that an outgrowth of maybe a combination of sympathy for Palestinians and the fact that Palestinians tend to be kind of aligned also with African Americans to some extent? You know what I mean?
I think that's exactly it. So there's this notion of intersectionality, which is the belief that all forms of oppression are actually connected, are really part of the same oppression. And so the world is then divided into oppressor and oppressed. And then it's just a matter of putting different groups of people into the oppressor category or the oppressed category. Jews get put into the oppressor category, but so do white males. Lots of categories of people get put into the oppressor category, and they think their job is to stick it to the oppressor and help the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that is true worldwide, and so they have sympathy for Palestinians because they see them as oppressed, and they see Jews and Israel as in the oppressor category.
Right. We're talking with Jay Green. He is a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Center for Educational Policy. He's published a piece, which is in Newsweek magazine a few days ago, "Anti-Semitism is a Growing Problem Among College Diversity Administrators." In your article, Jay, you talk about how you have gauged the extent of the antipathy of administrators towards Israel. You examine social media posts you did. Tell us a little bit about your data gathering and how you came to the conclusion that there is this anti-Semitism.
Sure. So first, in an earlier study, we had documented that there were 45 on average diversity administrators per university. And we had recorded their names and titles. And then what we did in this new study is we searched for their social media accounts, their Twitter accounts. And then we did a search of their Twitter accounts for all references to Israel, and for comparison purposes, all references to China. And what we found were two things. First, they talk about Israel about three times as much as they talk about China. They're relatively obsessed with Israel, even though there are a lot of reasons why they might want to talk about China. They don't talk about it very much. But the other thing is they treat these two countries very differently. 96% of what they have to say about Israel is critical, but of China, 62% is favorable.
Wow.
So they treat these countries very differently with different standards of behavior, and that is a good sign or a bad sign of anti-Semitic behavior.
Wow. 96%? As opposed,
96% critical versus 62% favorable towards China, a country that spawned a pandemic, is brutally repressing the Uyghur people, is crushing democratic dissent in Hong Kong, is threatening to invade Taiwan. There are a lot of things they could be critical about with China, but they're not.
What do you think is the reason that these college administrators are so down on Israel? Is it strictly because of the Palestinian situation? Are there other factors that...
I think that's a big part of it, but it's part of a belief system, an ideology, that success is produced by doing bad things, by being an oppressor. So the successful people in America are bad and oppressors, and successful countries that are thriving are also
okay. Oppressors. So it goes back to an anti-capitalist bias or prejudice or what?
It's against Western democracy and capitalism. I mean, it's at its core.
Wow, very interesting. So we associate. Rightly and wrongly, we associate Jewish people with being successful. And there's this, I guess, this bias that they do well and other groups don't do as well. So there's this jealousy kind of shoehorned into the bias. Do you think so?
I think that's right. But again, it's not uniquely applied to Jews. I mean, for example, there's the attribution of success to all white men. And we know not all white men are actually thriving. Some are facing challenges, and some are doing very well. But there's the stereotyping that all white males are successful and therefore oppressors, while women of color are oppressed when some women of color are doing very well in society.
We're talking again with Jay Green from the Heritage Foundation Center for Education Policy. You know, this liberal bias and just the overall liberal bias on college campuses has been around for a long time, for many generations.
This is true.
Yeah. So it's already there. So you've got an environment for these diversity administrators to come into where they're getting, I guess, a pat on the back. It would be fun to find, not fun, but it would be interesting to find out if you could wander into the diversity administrators department and say, I'm a white guy. I want to know what you're doing for us. That would be interesting.
Well, yeah,
which of you 45 was handling the white person situation? white male. I'm a white male. I feel put upon. Go ahead.
One thing to point out, though, about universities is that the average student is not a radical. The average student, they're our kids, right? They're on average kind of normal. They may be a little bit left of center just because young people are that way, but they're not radical. They want practical things like to complete their degrees and get jobs and things like that. So the radical activism we see on campus is not the average student. It's a fringe group, but it's being organized and elevated by these diversity administrators.
I mean, my university, and I went to a reunion, and you know, it's changed over the years. But they, you're right about this diversity department. All of these colleges have them. It seems to me it gets in the way of educating people. You know, it colors everything.
It's the opposite of education. It's indoctrination, really. What they're doing is they're articulating and enforcing an ideological orthodoxy.
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that most kids catch on to this like you and I do? Or do you think immature, you know, they're still growing when they get into college. They're kind of, you know, you're kind of an open book still, aren't you? Because when you get into college, You expect to be fed things still.
That's true, but most kids are not that impressionable at 20 years old. I mean, they're a little bit, but not that much. So they don't believe all of the nonsense they're told, but they'll parrot it back in class because that's what they need to do to get a good grade.
True.
And get
just like I did.
And get a job. Right. I mean, it's a little bit like living in the Soviet Union, right? You you know, people in the Soviet Union didn't all believe that communism was great, but they knew they had to keep their head down and get along. And that's a little bit what it's like for kind of average students in universities, is they're not radicals, they don't believe the ideology, but they also don't feel empowered to resist it.
Jay, do you think, let me wrap it up by asking you this, where is all of this going with these college diversity administrators, et cetera? Are we going to somehow figure out that this is not a good environment for these impressionable kids, or what do you think?
I'm actually quite hopeful. You know, things that are nonsensical tend not to last. You know, the Soviet Union eventually collapses. If it doesn't work, it can't last. And this kind of nonsense doesn't work on college campuses, and eventually it will collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But it can do a lot of damage in the interim.
Yeah.
And we have to help it collapse sooner. And one of the ways we can do that is really dramatically cut back on higher education subsidies, because it's the flow of large amounts of money into higher education that subsidize more nonsense. And also donors, alums, tuition-paying families need to demand accountability. And I think if university administrators feel some pressure from the right, they won't always cave to the left as much as they're doing now.
You know, you talked about something I'd like to talk with you about in a later discussion, and that is federal intervention into the universities and schools, and how much damage that does, rather than allowing them to grow and prosper in the free market. But Jay, I want to thank you so very much. Such an interesting and important topic.
Yeah, it's been great talking about it with you. Look forward to coming back sometime to discuss this further.
We shall do that. Thank you. Jay Green, Heritage Foundation. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, the Miami Herald says the Omicron virus outbreak in Florida occurred because Ron DeSantis, our governor, acted selfishly. What? We'll talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about all of this, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, the 29th of December. Thank you so very much for being with us. Well, this is interesting news. Maybe Kamala Harris is excited about it. A Gallup poll is out, and Biden's approval rating is now lower than Kamala Harris's approval rating. I thought Kamala was really in the basement. It says here, President Joe Biden's approval rating is below that of Kamala Harris, according to a recent Gallup poll. Right now, according to Gallup, let's find it here. We've got Joe Biden at 43% approval and 51% disapproval. And Kamala Harris is at 44%. She's 1% more approval. However, she's 3% more disapproval. Thank you, Kamala. By the way, she listens to our show, does she not, Ed? You would think she would learn something listening to our show. You know who is the highest rated person in this Gallup poll in Washington? It's Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. Chief Justice John Roberts gets a 60% approval. Second is Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, 53%. And here, our buddy Anthony Fauci gets a 52% approval rating, 47% disapproval. Anyway, we got this deal going on here where the Miami Herald, which is no friend of Ron DeSantis, much like the Tampa Bay Times, on Christmas Eve, they wrote an op-ed, and they torched DeSantis, suggesting that the new variation of the virus occurred due to his own selfish actions. We've got the proprietor of the barber pole. I'm sure you take umbrage to that, Andrew.
You know, Paul, first of all, you got to realize that the St. Peter, the Tampa Times, whatever it is, and the Miami Herald, they cater to the ignorant. Okay? Now, if you look at the Miami Herald, you got the mayor tearing DeSantis apart, right? But they don't say nothing about his wife running against Marco Rubio.
So the mayor of Miami's wife is going to run against Rubio for the Senate seat, okay?
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, they don't say nothing about that. Of course, they're going to try to tear the Republicans down. And you know, Paul, I'm so tired of hearing about this Omicron variant.
Mm-hmm.
If the people got a problem with it, go get a bottle of NyQuil. It takes care of a stuffy, runny nose. Okay, because that's all this is. Now, these ignorant people are making a big deal out of it, running and go and get tests. And for what? There's no hospitalizations with it. There's nothing.
Yeah.
The people should be smart enough to know that they should hope everybody gets it, because this is the beginning of the end of this virus.
You know, I was just going to say that. If everybody gets it, and 99.9% of the people that get it, it's going to be treated more like a cold because they're not going to die from it. Now we got the antibodies, and these are natural antibodies against the virus. And indeed, the herd immunity that a lot of people are talking—I mean, we're talking about all these shots that people are taking. It's not that it's not somewhat protective, but it sounds like these shots don't last.
Well, the shots don't last. They're pushing the shots. Biden is trying to hold back on the monoclonal antibodies on this whole thing. He's trying to get rid of them. Okay, why? This is what cures the people.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, these antibodies from that thing. This is something that both Donald Trump, I think, and Governor Ron DeSantis have been touting. But somehow the CDC and Washington and the Democrats, they don't seem to want to focus on it.
Well, that's because they got a hold of what? Maybe 35% of the population that are still believing them? They got to hold on to whatever they got because they're losing really quick.
You would think that they would want to solve this issue on their watch. Why would they not want to? Why would they not want to bring this other, not antidote, but this other aid, you know, to the forefront? Let people decide. Maybe they want to take it.
Look at it like this, Paul. Maybe they're trying to get rid of the Americans and they're leaving the illegal immigrants, and, you know, not vaxxed, so they get herd immunity. They live and they can vote Democrat and the American people die.
That is the most Machiavellian thing I've ever heard.
Hey, well,
kill off all of them. Kill off all of them. Okay.
This is how they do it. Look at the moron yesterday. I'm going to stop COVID.
Yeah.
I can beat COVID. Elect me and COVID will be gone. What did he say yesterday?
It's the state.
Leave it up to the state.
Yeah, he's going to hide behind the...
He can't do nothing.
He's going to hide behind the governors. Hey, I'm right there with you. Let me hide behind you. I mean, on the one hand, he ran on the idea that Trump was ruining the attempt to solve the issue with the virus. And then he gets... He comes up... Now it's not his responsibility. I mean, at the same time, he says they have a federal solution. The guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Paul, when you were talking about Kamala's and Biden's polling numbers, I got news for you. I can't see how they're even at 42% and 41%. I think they're way below that.
Yeah.
They're making them. I have no faith in the Gallup poll no more whatsoever.
Well, you know, Gallup is supposed to be the most respected poll. It's been, well, at least let's put it this way. It's been around the longest.
That's it. Yeah. That's the only. It's been around the longest.
Yeah.
It don't mean nothing. These people's ratings are much. I cannot believe that 42% of the population still likes them. Can you?
No, actually, I can't.
Okay.
But there's a lot of ignorant people out there. There's a lot of ignorant people. You gotta. We don't all think alike. Let's be honest.
Yeah, isn't that sad, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, it's good. We don't want to bore ourselves to death. We want to have diversity of thought. But, you know, it's very interesting. I would think, I mean, when push comes to shove, you know, your vote is going to do your talking for you. So I don't know exactly how accurate this really is. I tend to think you're right.
Again, the American people are as dumb as Washington, because all they're worried about is they're worried about an Omicron virus that isn't doing nothing except saving the freaking country.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried that China's building islands in the South China Sea. They're not worried that the Chinese are helping Saudi Arabia build missile sites in Saudi Arabia. They're not worried about it. They're worried about Omicron.
Hey, let me ask you a question, and I know I didn't warn you in advance, so... But let me ask it anyway.
You're going to do a Joe Biden to me and ask, you know, give
no.
me a question 2 days ahead of time?
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to get the 2 days ahead of time. What is your biggest news story of 2021? This is our last show talking with you.
Biggest news story of 2021?
Yeah, was it the virus outbreak? Was it the election of Joe Biden? Was it the pullout from Afghanistan? Or you know what I mean.
You know, I think it's all of the above.
Yeah.
The country's been in ruin since 2021.
So maybe the top story is the Democratic
Biden, yeah.
The Democratic takeover and how it's affected our country, maybe.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it, because Hillary Clinton gonna come around and she's gonna save us all.
Well, you know, she's starting to look pretty good in comparison to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Did you see where Kamala Harris asked Hillary Clinton what she could do to be more likable, because she thinks Hillary Clinton's more likable than her?
I think she ought to put on a clown suit and learn how to dance. That, to me, would become more likable.
Well, Kamala ought to go back to her roots and go to the dollar dances.
Is that how she met that guy, Brown?
That's right.
That one of those dollar dances?
He put the dollar dances. We won't say what they are, but that's where she got her start.
You know that our crack buddy here, Big Ed, has able to create this laugh. Now, he doesn't do it, but Kamala Harris laugh. So we bring it on from time to time, because that whenever she gets a question that's halfway tough, that's the first thing she does. I knew that was coming. Thank you, Ed. So I would look at the border as one of the very top issues. This porous southern border of ours, it worries me to death. Think of all the things that can occur when you leave your southern border. I mean, bad people coming in, you know, the defense of our country, the wrong people can come in. Obviously, the spread of disease. I don't know. That's the thing.
Paul, I got news for you. They better start drafting these people for our military when they come across the southern border, because half our military is leaving because of their COVID mandate.
That's true.
Okay. So they better start drafting these people. Let them know ahead of time you're going to be fighting the Russians, the Chinese, maybe even the Saudis might send a rocket or two here. Who knows?
I believe I have a story here somewhere, if I can find it. A bunch of Marines say they're not going to take the virus shot.
That's right.
Here it is. They says they're being, quote, crushed over their vaccine refusal, a political purge. U.S. Marines are being crushed by Biden's vaccine mandate as thousands face dismissal for their continued refusal to get the shot.
Well,
boy, that's all we need. Is that kind of...
You know, Paul, you know how they do the douchebag of the morning on the morning show? They need to get the douchebag of the morning, the New York City Police Department.
Ah.
They are sitting there arresting mothers and kids that are going into restaurants without their COVID cards. I mean, I can't believe the
police. I can't believe they would arrest them.
Well, they're giving them warning, and if they don't leave, they arrest them for some
kind. Meanwhile, of crime across the country is rising like nobody's business, and they're going to arrest people going into restaurants.
Yeah, but
this is proof that the police department, how they're weeding out the good ones. The same thing with the military. They're getting rid of the ones that aren't going to turn on the American people, but they're going to keep the ones that will turn on them. You understand?
Mm. Andrew, how do you blame the police when it's the mayor that set those guidelines and they're following what they're supposed to do?
Well, the mayor, the policeman should sit there and say, listen, mayor, you're overstepping your boundaries. We aren't doing this.
Well, then they'll have to quit their job.
They ain't going to quit their job. She'd have to quit her job. He'd have to quit his. Well, how's he going to enforce it without the police?
I look at the clash between, for instance, in my hometown of Chicago, and that nutmare that they got there that's absolutely ruining a beautiful city, clashing with police there, and, you know, all of the, what do you call those break-ins on these stores where they're running in now and, you know.
Smash and grab.
Yeah, smash and grabs going on all over. Chicago's got it. It's happening in San Francisco. It's happening in Seattle. All of these beautiful cities, that this is happening to, drives me crazy. I do not understand it. And then the defund the police, which now, of course, has become, they're all turning 180. Those that wanted that idea are basically turning 180 degrees.
Especially after two of them got carjacked within 24 hours of each other.
Yeah, they're two.
They all changed their mind.
Exactly. Two Democrats that were in favor of defunding the police actually got held up, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
What a great comeuppance that was. I had a warm feeling reading those stories. And, of course, these are the same people that get the extra security patrols because they got bodyguards left and right wandering around. It's such a hypocritical thing.
You know, I've got a solution on the smash and grab. Now, these people that are doing it, they're going after the high-end items, specifically. What the store needs to do is take the box item out, take the item out of the box, put a dummy thing in there, and put one of those dye packs that the banks use.
Yes.
As soon as they leave the store, boom! It explodes.
I love it.
Then we can find them.
I love it. What do you think, Andrew? Exploding jewelry boxes.
Yeah.
At nighttime, they could put a couple rattlesnakes in their jewelry case.
That's even good. That's a good one, too. You have a bunch of serpents slithering around your diamond rings and your bracelets and watches overnight.
Or you hire a big, nasty pit bull dog, and then when they're in there smashing and grab, you lock the door and let the dog loose.
That's well, they need more than one.
They have, don't they?
They need about 10 pit bulls at each of these stores. But, you know, we're making fun of something that's very, very sad, you know? And
well, it can't be that sad. The Democrats are letting it happen. Those 40% of the people must agree with it, Paul.
Yeah. I think this is why there's going to be such a revolt in November at the polls. I think there's going to be such a revolt. Even in some of these cities, you would think that some of these people would wake up and go, what are we doing to ourselves here? We keep electing people like this. Look at the crime that's going on in our city, you know?
Paul, everything that's going on. Did you see what Mr. Putin said the other day about genders?
No. What did he say?
He says, I don't care what's happening in America. There are only two genders, a man and a woman. Period.
The nerve! He actually...
Yes,
we need that kind of common sense back here. We don't need it over Russia.
Yeah, but you know, it takes Putin to say it.
Exactly.
The moron we got in there to say it. The moron, his wife that's a psychologist, she's nuttier than him.
Andrew, I want to wish you a very happy New Year because the next time you and I will be talking will be Monday. We're going to take Friday off here. And it's been a pleasure having you as a regular and, you know, as a sponsor of our show. So I want to thank you here at the end of the year, as always, for your continued support. But looking forward to talking with you again in the new year.
You got it, Paul, and let's go Brandon 2022.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Pretty good, brother.
All right. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take a short break because of the time here, Ed, and we will be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen to us live, Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, as most of you know, the legendary John Madden has passed away at the age of 85. And Ed, some people say there has been no bigger influence when it comes to sports football broadcasting than John Madden. He was like a pioneer doing the color commentary, but he had a great career even before that, being a football coach.
Yeah, you know, he was known in all facets of the game, basically. He started out with the coaching, and then he got into broadcasting. And when he was done with broadcasting, he stayed with the competition committee, trying to get safer rules for head injuries and stuff like that. So his entire career, he stayed with the game.
Yes, he. Yeah. And, you know, he was like on Monday Night Football. He was on every network.
He started every major out, network. Started out on CBS, went to Fox. And then the Sunday Night Football. I don't think he was ever on ESPN, but we're talking about the major
networks.
No,
I should have said
CBS, NBC, and
ABC,
Fox,
yeah.
And ABC.
Yeah.
And ABC Monday Night Football, yes.
And they said that he was able to describe plays and to make them understandable to mm-hmm. people. And, you know, and I think he kind of set the trend.
Yeah. In 2000, I got to spend about 10, 15 minutes with him waiting for to do a phone interview, and got to know him and what type of person he was. Yeah.
Tell us, yeah. Was he friendly?
Well, one of the things that I said, you know, one of the things that other than flying, of course, because he didn't like to fly.
No, he didn't.
He didn't like big crowds.
I believe
he felt
that.
Very uncomfortable around big crowds. And I was like, well, you picked the wrong profession. You're in a, you know, in a stadium with 80,000 people. I mean, that's. You can't get
so he was a
that.
Bit claustrophobic.
Yeah, he was, and that's the whole thing with the flying the airplanes,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
And his last plane ride was actually from Tampa after doing a game. I believe it was 1987. After doing a broadcast, he got on the plane to fly home to California, and about halfway, he just had a panic attack, and he promised himself if he ever got off the plane alive, he would never get on another plane, and he never did.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he was a very, very interesting, and it sounded like a fun person to be around.
Yeah.
And they're going to miss him.
And ironically, on Christmas Day, they had a 90-minute special about him.
They did.
They're going to rerun that tonight.
Yeah, I don't think they've even given a cause of death, but he was 85.
He's 85. He'd had some problems in the past couple of years.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Time for our top 10. And these are the top 10 brightest states in America, according to, by the way, MoneyWise Magazine. They are actually displaying a wallet-hub study that considers both the educational attainment of adults and the quality of that education. So it's basically education that we're talking about. Here we go, top 10. Number 10. Number 10 brightest state in America is Minnesota. Minnesota is the eighth best in the country for educational attainment, though they say here only the 18th best for quality of education. So it means you get to a certain level and you're pretty good, but not necessarily trained with a quality education. All right, number nine, New Jersey. Now, New Jersey always gets a bad rap for a lot of reasons, but it's ninth brightest state when it comes to education. They say here ranks as the fifth best for quality of education, 10th best for educational attainment. You know, they got Princeton there. You know, we got Princeton alone is going to help it. Number eight, New Hampshire. Only 6% of its adults have not made it through high school, helping New Hampshire become the sixth best state for overall educational attainment. Number seven, Washington State. Washington's ninth best state for educational attainment, 10th best for quality. Top-rated schools there, University of Washington, Seattle, and Whitman College. Number six, Virginia, the mother of presidents and the mother of states, has also birthed an impressive number of graduates. The Old Dominion scores for educational attainment and quality of education are both among the top 10 and the fourth highest percentage of residents who hold a graduate degree. Number five, Connecticut. A lot of them on the East Coast. Connecticut squeaks into the top five most educated states on the list, ranking fourth best for educational attainment. The nutmeg. Did you know it's called the nutmeg state? Who cares?
The spice?
What the heck? It's also the home to Yale, so that's pretty good. All right, number four. Vermont. Vermont ranks fifth for educational attainment, eighth for quality of education. The Green Mountain State makes sure that the basics are covered. It's tied with Alaska for the fifth highest share of residents with high school diplomas. Number three. Wow, this one's a little bit of an outlier. Colorado. Coloradans are clearly eager to learn in terms of educational attainment. The state ranks second only to another state we'll mention later for educational attainment. It has the second highest share of residents with a bachelor's degree. Okay, number two. Maryland. Maryland ranks second for quality of education, third for educational attainment, has the second highest share of residents with a graduate degree in the country, third highest share of residents with a bachelor's degree. By the way, they got Johns Hopkins University. That's pretty impressive. All right, Ed, I know it's going to be a guess. I don't know if you were listening to all the other nine. Do you have any idea what the number one brightest state in America might be?
Instead of going neutral, go North Carolina.
North Carolina. Interesting. Very interesting. Why am I doing this with my voice? It's not. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Harvard. I thought you'd guess this one. The Bay State. Ranks first for both educational attainment and quality of education. It also has the second highest average of universal quality. So there you go, my friends. We want to again wish you all a very safe, enjoyable, and blessed new year. We will be back with you on Monday. Remember, though, that freedom always works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM